everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Davidson, is on the other side of the glass today as Ray Allen takes a few days off over in California. And together, though, we welcome you, John and I, to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, August 22nd, 2017. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice. That's AM 1030 KVOI. We live stream the program. That means worldwide live listening anywhere that you are in front or near a computer. Buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com gives you the live stream of the program. And of course, all of our programs are archived on my website, Buckmastershow.com, so you can hear pretty much any show we've done over the past 6.5 years. Our live line number 790-2040. If you would like to get in on the conversation and join us, that would be great. Let's go now on the live line up to Phoenix. Joe Thomas is the head of the Arizona Education Association. Mr. Thomas, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How's everything down south?
Doing pretty well, and we are launching into a new school year. I guess pretty much all of Arizona schools are back in session, correct?
I believe at this point every public school in Arizona has started. They usually do with the year-round schools. They start a little bit earlier in even July. But I don't know of any schools that haven't had that exciting first day. The teachers are really excited to start the year with a new crop of students. And as a parent, I have this is an important year. I have a senior this year. I'm still not sure how that happened. But my oldest is set to graduate. I've got a sophomore and a seventh grader. So we're enjoying the new year as parents as well.
How about the teacher shortage as we begin this new school year? What do you see?
Well, I certainly didn't see any positive changes coming out of the governor and legislature's work last year, and I traveled around most of the state at new teacher events. I was in Flagstaff for breakfast one day and back down in the valley at Paradise Valley for with their new teachers for lunch. So I got to see quite a lot of different regions of the state. Everybody, again, very excited to be starting the year. Some of them are brand new teachers. Some of them are veterans that have moved to a new district or a new part of the state. But districts are still struggling finding qualified people that want to stay in Arizona and work. And we really didn't see that addressed very much. The governor in the state of the state last year said there was going to be a big teacher raise. It was about time we respected teachers. And then in the end, everybody, all of your political listeners know that we ended up with a 1% stipend as it ends up. Most districts saw that money is not in, they don't see that the state has put that into the budget to where it's going to come every year. So, human resource directors across the state, they have their own association, and for 2 years they've released a really important document that looks at survey results from districts and charters around the state on how many teaching positions they still have opened, how many they've filled with emergency certifications, how many they've filled with long-term subs, and how many they've even had to fill with emergency substitute teachers, which the requirement to get that certificate is a high school diploma or a GED. And, you know, God bless those people for stepping up and trying to take that job. But that's not what a parent wants in front of their classroom. They want a really good math teacher teaching algebra, and they want a really good reading teacher in first grade teaching their child the love of reading. And it's just becoming harder and harder based on our class sizes and based on the 49th or 50th rank in the nation on what we pay our teachers to keep people in the state.
Are you saying that there will be then an emergency substitute for a substitute?
Right. You have different requirements to get in front of a classroom, either as a substitute or as a long-term substitute. And the state used to have a cap on the number of days that long-term subs could serve. You know, the idea of you wanted to eventually get someone in there that had been through a college of education. You know, you guys have a good one down there in Tucson. There's another good one up here in Tempe and even further north up in Flagstaff. You really want a highly qualified, well-trained educator in front of your students. But now, because of the years ago, about 3 years ago, because of the first few years of that teaching crisis, they said substitute teachers can teach all year now. And to get an emergency substitute certificate, you really only have to have a high school diploma or a GED. And so there were a couple hundred of those, I think, that brave superintendents and HR directors had owned up to the fact that's all they could find to teach some of their classes. And this
wow.
hits the rural areas much more than the urban and suburban areas, but it is hitting, it is impacting the urban and suburban areas now much, much more. And when you get into your physics teachers, when you get into your college AP courses, it's becoming harder and harder to find and retain people. Because they can move just across the state border. They can move to New Mexico and get a raise. They can move to Clark County in Nevada and get a raise. They can certainly move to California and get a significant raise. And or they just, you know, they came from out of state. They picked up their education here. They decided to stay for a year or two. But they can move back to Ohio or the Midwest, and they can get a significant raise. It's harder and harder to keep our teachers here.
Joe Thomas is with us. Mr. Thomas represents thousands of teachers. What is your membership there at the Arizona Education Association?
Right now we have across 260 districts. We have about 20,000 members. Both predominant of them are teachers, but we also have bus drivers and custodial workers and sheet metal people, and anybody that works in the school can join. We have administrators as well. We have the people that stand with us are the ones that see outside of their role and understand that it can't just be their classroom that's great. It's got to be every classroom across the state. Because Bill, and you know this, it shouldn't matter where you live. You ought to be able to walk out of your house, send your child right down the street to a quality public education. We need to have one in every neighborhood in the state, and our members won't stop until they see that as a reality.
How about this equivalency, job experience equivalent at getting you into the classroom? That was a big deal out of the legislature.
Right.
Any indication from what you're hearing around the state, is this making any difference at all?
I've not heard that we've seen a tremendous uptick in people that are wanting to move into the classroom out of a highly skilled area of labor. I understand the interest is to get more people into the classroom, and I think the best way to do that is to have competitive wages. Teachers shouldn't work for as paupers. They should be respected as professionals. We should try to attract the best that we can and put them in our classrooms so teachers can inspire the next grade level, whatever grade level they teach, for a lifelong love of learning. But the governor and it was really the state chamber of commerce that really pushed this through. It was practically Republicans only that supported it, but we really saw a lot of arm twisting with this idea that you don't need to go and learn how to teach. You just need to have the knowledge. And what that really means is if you know the answers, you're a teacher. And teachers that have been in the classroom just kind of chuckle because they understand their content. But being a teacher starts when a student doesn't understand how to do the math problem.
Right.
You know, you can't stand in front of the classroom and know all the answers and call yourself a teacher. You would be a great guest speaker. I teach social studies. I would have people come into my classroom that were elected officials, that were veterans, and they gave a very specific, precise, valuable knowledge, understanding, and story around whatever it was that they did or that they were currently doing. And that inspires students. I mean, that has an inspirational value. It's very good. But I wouldn't ask someone. I had an uncle that served. He was a bushmaster in the war. He described it as he did a lot of island hopping in the Pacific to try to defeat the Japanese army. He was there was a scene in Forrest Gump where Forrest had to go down into a tunnel, and my great uncle it was Reiford said that's what I used to do all day.
Oh my gosh!
So yeah, he had real close arm combat, but because he could tell those stories and really had a deep understanding of World War II, that doesn't mean he could teach all of history. And that's kind of the misguided effort that we saw from the governor and the state chamber of commerce and industry last year, was this idea that we just need to put people that are smart in front of a classroom and somehow magically they'll be able to build those relationships between the material that you're trying to teach and the students themselves. Teaching is very difficult, especially in an overcrowded classroom, and especially when there is a call for you to be a teacher, but then you see that you can earn significantly more money doing other things. And many of our teachers are very talented, and they can step right into businesses and become corporate trainers. They can fall back upon their base knowledge that they learned at university, and they can go into research and development. These are highly skilled people that we need to keep in the classroom for 20 and 30 years so we can continue to build a great economy here in Arizona by getting people ready to go to university, go into the trades, and work and contribute.
All right, Joe Thomas, thank you very much from the Arizona Education Association. We will keep track of how things are going and talk with you again. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. You guys have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Joe Thomas, the head of the Arizona Education Association, which he speaks for about 20,000 members across the state in public education. The Buckmaster Show, presented by Green Things, for all of your green things around the house or just outside in the garden. They've got it all on 13 acres at 3384 East River Road by the Rialto Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. They're very easy to find once you're over there on River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Shelley Fishman is coming up next, and Shelley's giving me a big thumbs up. That means it's a good day on the market. We'll be back.
Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. And improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We're watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Unfortunately, I've already made that decision to consult with Shelley Fishman, and he is here giving us always very insightful information
All
things financial. Shelley, how's your week going so far?
So far, we've had two up days on the market. When I see green on my computer screen, it's always a good thing.
It is a good thing, and last week was not so much a good thing.
Well, last week was, in many accounts, the beginning of the reevaluation of what this market is floating on, and you know, a lot of analysts wondering if the 22,000 level was really sustainable.
Well, and so you can't even say what happened last week is like the beginning of maybe kind of a mini correction.
Especially after what's happened now, yesterday a little bit and today bigly, at hugely even
hugely.
At almost 200 points. But there's no news that really backs this up. There's nothing that's happening that you can say, oh, well, this and this happened, or this and this company declared a really great quarter or whatever. We're not seeing that. What we're seeing is a general level of satisfaction with the economy and doubt among many of the investors over the way the Fed is going to continue to kind of back out of all of the incentives and stimulus that they put in place after the 2008 crisis. And so the idea that the Fed is going to slow down or might very probably slow down their unwinding of all of that stimulus is kind of goes along with the thinking that will continue to prop up the markets. And that's what we're seeing, Bill.
The Federal Reserve meets about three times a year.
Three or four times a year. The Reserve banks, each of the seven regions, has a full charter of their own. The Open Market Committee, I think, meets three times formally. Maybe it's four times a year. And one of the things they discuss in those meetings is what the very short-term interest rate ought to be for the next, well, until they change it again. And that's when we get, right afterwards, we get a couple of things. We get an announcement or no announcement as to a change. And now what we've seen in the past couple of years is actually a press conference where the chair of the Fed will read a statement and take questions. And the reading of the statement or the publishing of a statement is not new news. The taking of questions is. And so...
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't recall normally like a news conference built around
that. But that's what they kind of have now. And Janet will actually will answer some questions and try to take some of the mystery out of the the statements. Their statements are typically very, very carefully drawn up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to kind of peel it back and read between the lines and peel the ink off the paper to determine what the Fed is really saying and thinking. And the other problem, of course, is when you have seven presidents and a chairman in a room, you don't have uniformity in thinking. And so after those open market committee meetings, each of the presidents will very often go back and say, well, here's what I think about it.
They'll go back
to
their particular districts.
Exactly.
But one of the questions I know that if I was involved, I would be asking Ms. Yellen, what about inflation?
Well, and that's exactly right, Bill. The Fed is concerned with two things, inflation and the rate of unemployment. Those things are interrelated in the economy, but those are the two things that the Fed is chartered to watch. And so the Fed sets a level of inflation that they think is the appropriate level to keep the economy on a kind of an even course. And right now that level is 2%, and we haven't been reaching it. We haven't been reaching it for a long time. And the other thing they do is they talk about what is full employment and when will full employment have a tightening effect on wages such that employers will need to raise wages in order to attract new people into their businesses as positions open up. Now, that was a fairly well understood, you know, to the extent that anything in economics is a science. Those countervailing pressures were pretty well understood, and we knew that as we got toward full employment, there would be upward pressure on wages that would continue into prices. We'd get some inflation, the Fed would lift interest rates, that'd slow things down a little bit, and that was a balance that for years the Fed has tried to maintain.
What is considered full employment, by the way,
well,
in their
that's
opinion?
A great question.
Is it 3%? Is
well,
two?
Okay, so okay. So the unemployment rate that we hear about every month is only one of many measures of unemployment.
Okay.
So what we're really looking to see is the full participation rate in the workforce, and to see how that participation rate has changed over the past 5, 6, 7, or 10 years. And what's happening now that's making the job more difficult is people like me, who are baby boomers, or just, and you know, I'm at the very beginning of the baby boomers. I formally didn't even make it into the baby boomer generation, but I missed it only by a couple of weeks. people like me are beginning to retire. And so what happens is when we retire, theoretically, we retire at high wages, because if you're a senior, you've got some seniority, you've been working all your career, you're an expensive employee to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you retire, you're as a baby boomer, you're replaced by people who are much cheaper. So that drives wages down.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we also have another problem in this country, which is very low levels of people having kids.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right.
And so we're not getting new people into the workforce at rates that will be required to replace us baby boomers as we begin to retire in greater and greater numbers between now and, say, 2028, 2029, 2030. So the question is, how does the economy make up for that shortfall?
Right, right.
And if in fact, we're not seeing upward pressure on wages because the people replacing us are low wage to begin with,
right,
and they're not there.
Right.
So unless we have a lot of immigration and unless we can start to really train people, because, you know, not to brag, Bill, but I'm hard to replace.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of experience.
Yes, I know.
And so it's not to say that a 20-something can't do it, But it's going to take them, you know, some time and some training.
You know, I was just flashing on the words experience drain is kind of what we're looking at.
Well, yeah, we are.
Brain drain, it's been called. And people that don't have that kind of experience are filling the shoes of people that do.
And so there are literally hundreds of thousands of positions open today in American manufacturing and in other highly skilled job areas that the American economy is having a difficult time replacing. And so that whole scheme, I mean, your prior guest talking about training and education, these are very, very important things to an economy. And so if you're the Fed chairperson who has to make these decisions about how to adjust interest rates to keep inflation high enough, but at the same time isn't seeing upward pressure on wages, these what used to be fairly commonplace formulas that they would use are now harder and harder to determine. And so the speculation is, I mean, this has been going on now, well, you know, for almost 20 years, but certainly in this current recovery, what we're seeing is the formulas just aren't working. And so Bernanke, before Yellen, and now Yellen, trying to make these balances, knowing that they have to unwind the stimulus, but understanding that we also need this soft landing, and every time they make attempts at it, the normal reactions that the economy should give us, which is we're going to raise interest rates, okay, that's going to raise inflation a little bit, wages will begin to go up, it's not happening.
All righty, Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. We will be talking to you very soon. Appreciate it. We can find out more about Shelley at buckmastershow.com. There's a link right to him. Thanks, Shell.
Thank you, Bill.
Opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, plus Dr. Julian Ackerley, longtime head of the Tucson Boys Chorus, will join us. Buckmaster airs AM 1030 KVOI from noon to 1. Worldwide live listening, podcasts, and show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and without further ado, let's go on the live line to former State Senator Dr. Kelly Ward, former State Senator from Lake Havasu City, who will be most likely the center of attention tonight as President Trump visits Phoenix. Senator, how are you today?
Hey, hi, Bill. I'm doing great. Wow, it's been a whirlwind of a day. I can't believe it's only 12:30. My day started a long time ago.
Well, tell me, the president is coming to Arizona. Is he coming to specifically endorse you?
You know, I think he's coming to meet with the people of this state who helped to put him in office. I think he wants to reconnect with the voters, with those forgotten men and women that many people inside Washington, D.C. and the establishment have seemingly forgotten about. So I think he's here to do, you know, to do some rallying and celebrating for some of his successes since he's been in the White House.
What about Joe Arpaio? Do you think he will pardon former Sheriff Joe Arpaio?
I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens. I do agree with Congressman Franks and Congressman Biggs, Congressman Gosar. They've all come out, and you know, I agree that that should be something that's considered for Sheriff Joe. Sheriff Joe really is a hero in the illegal, you know, stopping illegal immigration, securing the border movement. He did what the federal government refused to do, and then he was politically targeted by a politically appointed judge to make a political point. And I don't think that that's the right way to use our justice system.
Lori Roberts, writing in The Republic, says the question is, would the endorsement of President Trump help Kelly Ward snag the seat now held by Senator Jeff Flake? What is the answer in your opinion? We know what Lori Roberts wrote. She said no. You'll probably say yes, I'm sure.
I don't think there's any love lost between Lori and me.
Right.
She's been on my case ever since I ran for the Arizona State Senate. Never has she been a fan. I think we are on the opposite ends of the political spectrum. I have to disagree once again with Lori. I think that that having the president's support would be wonderful. I love the supportive tweet that he put out a few days ago, that not only said he's glad that I'm running, but also said, some of the things that I've been saying about Jeff Flake. He's weak on the border. He's weak on crime. He's a non-entity in the United States Senate. All of those things are reasons why I'm running against Senator Flake, and why the people are so disappointed in what we've had, you know, with him in the Senate for this first term, but with him in Washington for almost 18 years.
Well, Jeff Flake and the Senate Leadership Fund, I don't know if Senator Flake was directly responsible for this, released an ad designed to counter any support that President Trump may throw your way tonight. Have you had a chance to see that ad?
You know, I saw it once this morning, and it is kind of humorous. I think it's funny that the Senate hasn't been able to get anything done since the president got into the White House, but they have figured out something to unite upon. They want to unite to attack me, and it seems that they've forgotten in that ad that I'm running against Jeff Flake. I'm not running against John McCain. That's over. That's done. I'm running against Senator Flake and running to win. The people of Arizona are very excited and very hopeful to have a new conservative Republican senator.
How do you counter when they say that you're nothing but a wacko? I mean, that's kind of the bottom line, your opposition. What do you say to them?
I tell them that that's just completely ridiculous. It's obviously a smear tactic. It's used many times against especially conservative women. But look at my record. When I was in the Arizona State Senate, I was one of the most effective senators, the most effective legislators that we had in this state. In 2015 alone, 19 of my bills were signed into law by Governor Ducey. That's not by being any kind of crazy. It's not by being any kind of extreme. It's by putting forth excellent policy and then convincing people on both sides of the aisle that it's a good idea for the people they represent, then navigating the sometimes rocky political process, the legislative process, and then getting it to the governor's desk. 19 bills, not too shabby. I'm a person of action. In Washington, D.C., we've got a lot of people who do a lot of talking, and I think that's what people are sick and tired of. So, you know, I think people aren't going to listen to these belittling, you know, voices, these attempts to smear, these ridiculous kinds of attacks. They're going to go for action.
And they bring up that chemtrail thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I held an environmental meeting in Kingman, Arizona. You know, it's the heart of my district when I was in the Arizona State Senate. People were concerned about the quality of the water, the quality of the soil, the quality of the air. So I brought people in from the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality to speak with my constituents. Seems like what any good elected official would do, any good representative of the people, at least. And some of the people that were there talked about that controversial topic, not me, the attendees. And somehow John McCain, his cronies, and now Mitch McConnell in the Senate Leadership Committee has decided that that's their only thing that they have against Kelly Ward. Pretty sad.
How about the support for Jeff Flake? Is it how would you characterize it? Is it kind of soft, or what? How would you characterize it?
I would characterize it as almost non-existent.
Hmm. Well, what are your polling? What's your polling showing?
Polling show, you know, our polls show that we are doing very well, that we're leading Senator Flake, and almost so far that he's so far in the dust, it's going to be almost impossible for him to catch up.
Hmm. What is the issue particularly you think that is resonating so much with your supporters?
There's a couple of things, but first and foremost, it's the border and stopping illegal immigration. People in Arizona want to build the wall. They want to secure the border. They want people to come to our country the right way. And Jeff Flake is an open borders amnesty guy. He's a self-described globalist. I am a person who believes in border security being national security and stopping illegal immigration and enforcing our laws that are on the books, a law and order type of person. People, that's probably the biggest issue here in Arizona. Now, of course, there's the Trump issue. He is one of the original never Trumpers. In the primary, he said that Donald Trump was not his 14th choice to be our nominee. After Donald Trump got through that very, very, distinguished 17 that were on the stage, you know, we had a great field as Republicans, and he defeated all of them to become our nominee. Once Donald Trump became the nominee, Jeff Flake still was at it. He said he needs to step out of the race, that America deserves better. He was featured in a Hillary Clinton campaign ad, for goodness sake. And so, and he also admitted that he didn't vote for Donald Trump, that he went for Evan McMullen. So that's bad enough. But since he's gotten into the White House, Jeff Flake decided he should release a book attacking the president. I support the president. Jeff Flake certainly does not.
Dr. Kelly Ward with us. Have a minute or so left with Dr. Ward. She's got a very busy schedule, the event tonight. I think it starts 7 o'clock, right, Dr. Ward?
It does. We're already downtown getting ready to go and talk to people in the line and, you know, get with the people who support Donald Trump, also the natural voting block for me. So I'm excited to go out, shake some hands, meet some people, hear what their issues are, what they are upset about in Washington, D.C., and why they want a new senator. So got a lot of work to do today.
All right. And more information at KellyWard.com,
Kelly with an I. Also on social media, Kelly Ward AZ. Come on in, join the conversation. Let's make some big change in 2018.
Dr. Ward, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye. 12:45 is our next point of reference here on the Buckmaster Show, as we now will get ready to push into our next segment, which is our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Filling in today with the report will be Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson. He'll be on the line in a moment. But first, please pause, take a listen to the fine people who support our work here at Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This week's Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by the Fox Tucson Theater, the crown jewel of downtown. What an exciting lineup of world-class entertainment scheduled for the month of September. I want to tell you a couple of the big shows coming up. Visit foxtucson.com to see the full list of the shows, which includes Kansas, the Left Overture 40th Anniversary Tour, on September the 6th. Hey, Three Dog Night is coming to town. Sunday, September the 17th, Three Dog Night. My gosh, how many big hits did they have? They were absolutely huge. Still a great act. And to purchase tickets to see Kansas, the Left Overture 40s Anniversary Tour on September the 6th, Three Dog Night, September the 17th, Jesse Colin Young and Martin Barra Band on September the 23rd, Max Weinberg's Jukebox Tour, September 28th, visit foxtucson.com. Let's go now to Dan Gibson to visit Tucson for our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
How about that lineup?
I know, and that's not even including. You get the Look Far Ahead. Amy Grant's coming in February.
Whoa.
And Amy Grant is a beautiful singing angel. So mark the calendars.
Summer,
I already have.
Summer wrapping up. Things really start to pick up in the art scene here as we get into September, don't they?
Absolutely. The calendar changes. You know, things are happening. There's plenty to do. This is only a little precursor of things to do. Look on Facebook. Check out, you know, the Weekly, the Zocalo, things like that. Make sure you're keeping up with the arts. This is the Dan Gibson pick of the next 2 weeks, for what it's worth. Arizona Onstage Productions presenting Mel Brooks as The Producers. Who doesn't enjoy The Producers, the Broadway musical? Arizona Onstage does an incredible job with shows, like just spectacular, at the Berger Performing Arts Center. That's running this weekend. It's actually running, this is your last chance to see it up to the 27th. Reviews are really good. People have said really great things. Tickets are affordable. Don't miss it. You can go to arizonaonstage.org for more information. A little bit of a different note, Mediterranean Nights, the finale. This is hosted by Xanadu Dance Studio. It is a tribute to Catherine Ferguson, who passed away earlier this year, ran Xanadu Dance Studio, was also an activist and an author. This is a memorial gala dance and music tribute paying tribute to the influence she had on the community around her. So all these different dancers, that's on Saturday between 7 and 9 p.m. at the Proscenium Theater on the campus of PCC West. Catherine was an incredible person by all accounts. Everyone I knew that knew her was devastated by her loss, but this is an opportunity to pay tribute to her work. So absolutely worth checking out.
Including me, I worked with her way back when she was actually one of our crew students on Arizona Illustrated, like in the early 90s.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I got to know her, and then she went on do some really good border work. She mm-hmm. did some documentaries down in the Copper Canyon. So this was a very, very talented woman. And her dancing, of course. She always loved to dance, and her dance studio and everything really took off. And just a great person. It was devastating to hear about her passing earlier this year.
Yeah, no, all we would ever want for ourselves is to be celebrated, our lives to be celebrated. This is a great opportunity to do so. The Hotel Congress has the annual HOCO Fest over Labor Day weekend. This year, bigger than ever. It's really a monumental occasion for them. They're doing an art show in the lobby, but also music starting on Wednesday with the Los Angeles jazz bassist Thundercat. I would say do not miss this show. Thundercat is amazing. They have shows Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They have liquor tastings, they have vintage clothing fair, vinyl record fair. KXCI is opening their satellite studio in the Hotel Congress that weekend. There is a lecture at the University of Arizona. If you go to Hotel Congress's website, there's all kinds of listings of things to do, but music, art, food, all the things you want. They're going to do a great job at Hotel Congress. It sort of celebrates the hotel's history as they come up on their 100th year next year, which will be something in itself.
Are you a fan of Jesse Colin Young?
Yeah, no, I like Jesse Colin Young. Is he coming to the beautiful festival?
Yeah, he's coming, and Grammy winner, and I hope I pronounce his name right, Martin Barr, B-A-R-R-E, is
right.
Known to rock fans for his tenure as guitarist for Jethro Tull.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, I mean, I think our friend Craig Sumberg has really found the right combination of what the axe he is bringing to the Fox. Wouldn't you agree, Dan Gibson?
Yeah, it's especially for people who have a passion for, it is sort of the music of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, sort of the lasting, like essentially, not classic rock seems a little dismissive, but I mean, you talk about Max Weinberg and obviously the drummer for the E Street Band, Jesse Colin Young, was in the Youngbloods, I believe, and had solo
projects. I think so, yeah.
You have Rich Robinson and Mark Ford, who are in the Black Crowes, are coming as part of the Magpie Salute on September 19th, but also, obviously, you know, the variety of entertainment that they're having, the acrobats of Tai Jin are coming. My pick, I would say, the Take Me to the River, the Memphis Soul Rhythm and Blues Review, October 5th, with William Bell of Stax Records. Charlie Musselwhite is incredible. Bobby Rush. It's sort of like, it's interesting because the Rialto and the Fox obviously have the parallels of being both on Congress, anchoring that area. Both have a wide variety of things. Fox has really found this sort of great space of like classic, respected, adult music, you know, and if you're a grown-up person wanting to hear music from Irma Thomas to, and then the films, it's really an incredible lineup. And then you can see things that are happening out to, all the way out to like March, I think, of 2000, or April. It's when I think you can make your plans earlier. They've got stuff from the Tucson Jazz Festival listed now. Christmas stuff coming up. Can't lose. You go through their lineup, you will find something you enjoy.
How about The Loft and Dunkirk? How has that done?
It's done really well. I mean, Loft, opening with this, this very large scale, production,
right,
something that you can only see there in 70mm. It was a great way to reopen their theater. They've Step there now, which is this really great movie about young women, young African-American women in dance. It gave an opportunity to open with a bang, and now they'll have these, in this brand new theater with a great, they get the reclining seats and everything. One thing you kind of thought about The Loft was before, in the main screen, gigantic screen, big production, but the seats weren't always that comfortable. Problem solved. Now you can see all these great films and in luxurious comfort, which is a nice combination.
And Peggy Johnson has done a terrific job there. Of course, I mentioned earlier some of the old days at Arizona Illustrated. Of course, I worked with Peggy for many, many years at Channel 6 on Arizona Illustrated, and she really went on to find her true passion, I would believe, with the films.
Yeah, it is. You think of, this, essentially this like largely abandoned theater that they
turned
into this great project. And if you think of Live in Tucson for very long, you think of the tiny Loft Theater on on 6th, right?
It was on 6th, and they used to show some, shall we say, adult entertainment, perhaps some might say questionable in the early days of the Loft.
Yeah, and it's incredible. You think of a long time ago, you would think, oh, I'll never see that movie here. I'll wait for video or whatever.
Right.
The great movies is always a great sort of lineup, and you can go through there and see just these incredible films. In this Corner of the World is there this week, which won Japan's Animated Film of the Year. There's always something there, from around the world or right around the corner. And then, obviously these great opportunities for community groups to show films, things like that. It's a treasure is what the law.
There you go. Dan, I've only got a few seconds with you. Summing up, and we always like to get a tourism question in because that's what you're doing at Visit Tucson. The summer of 2017 will go into the record books as what?
Promising. Really good, actually. Still up year over year. It's a stronger year than last year, which was a stronger year than the year before. Got the AC Hotel by Marriott opening downtown in the next month. It's all good things. It's really quite a bit of progress.
Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Kansas, The Left Overture, 40th Anniversary Tour, September the 6th, Three Dog Night, September 17th, and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Max Weinberg's Jukebox Tour, coming on September the 28th, plus Saturday, September 23rd, Fox welcoming Jesse Colin Young and Martin Barr Band. We were just talking about Jesse Colin Young, one of the real classic performers. So great stuff coming up at the Fox. To view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule and to purchase tickets, visit foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. And my friend John Davidson will be engineering and producing, right, John, for Mike this afternoon. And coming up tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson here on KVOI to 6 to 9. On behalf of Mr. John Davidson, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.